In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. And a very happy new year. We're so happy that you are here. And if you're visiting us here at St. Benedict's, if you're here for the first time, we're so happy that you've joined us. We hope you feel at home. Today we celebrate the Epiphany, and it's a Greek word that means manifestation. Manifestation, the revelation of God. The Word made flesh, the God made man who dwelt among us, God showing his face to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. There was a very meticulous and very professional helicopter pilot who was flying a big fancy helicopter with lots of important people in it, and they had to get to their place quickly. But there was a problem. The whole electrical system in the helicopter went down. It shut down. And so he didn't know where they were going. The whole directional system, the GPS, was turned off. And all of a sudden he saw a big building, a skyscraper. And he went up to the skyscraper as closely as he could, and he told his co-pilot, quickly, quickly, here, grab this paper and grab this Sharpie, this marker, and just put on there, where are we? And the co-pilot put in big letters, very neatly, where are we? And he put it against the windshield of the helicopter. And the people inside the building started looking at the sign. Said, where are we? So then they diligently got a big piece of paper out with a big marker, and they wrote back, you are in a helicopter. The pilot scratched his head and said, well, went straight to the airport and landed. The co-pilot was amazed. He said, what? They didn't tell you anything. How did you know where to go? He said, oh, when I got that answer back, that very obvious answer, I knew that that was the Microsoft building. Because their answers are always technically right, but their answers are usually useless. The wise men from the East were not that wise. They weren't even kings. You know, in Spanish we call them los tres reyes magos, the three wise kings or the three kings. The truth is, they worked for the kings in the East. They were like the meteorologists and the astrologers of that time. When they looked up in the sky, they knew what was happening. They could tell you whether there was a storm coming, whether it was going to rain. They were the ones who kind of were able to look up and see what was happening in the atmosphere. And they saw something different, is what the scriptures tell us. They saw a star. And they saw that that star was different. And they had heard through the grapevine that a new king was coming to the people of Israel. But believe me, these folks from the East, they had no way of knowing the law and the prophets. They were not part of the chosen people of God. They had no way of understanding the spiritual meaning of this king or this Messiah. They had no way of knowing any of that. As a matter of fact, they went looking for the star because they saw something funny in the sky. That's what they were curious about. They really were not so curious about the spiritual meaning of the Messiah. They were probably clueless to it. But the star led them, and they followed. And while the gospel tells us that, you know, the king was worried, King Herod was worried because his authority would be undermined by another king, and all the scribes and the Pharisees and those popular people, they were, you know, also kind of concerned about what was happening. The truth is, those people who came from the East, those people who had no background in the faith, if you will, They followed what they saw. And that light meant something to them. And it says that they took gifts there, that they went with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what the gospel writer is trying to say to us is, you know what? They recognize his kingship. But they really had no clue what his kingdom was about. They went to worship an earthly king. I have to break it to you. They went to worship an earthly king. They had no idea that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's be honest. Did Jesus need gold? Probably not. He was born in a manger. I would have preferred a mattress. Did Jesus need frankincense and myrrh for his burial, stuff like that? Probably not. He was just starting out his life, right? A baby bottle would have been better. Maybe one of those little toys that, you know, you play around with, you know? The truth is, they did not, the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, did not need gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the people who came to them brought them that because they thought that that's what was necessary to worship or to bow down to an earthly king. What does that mean for us in the 21st century? We too are curious about things. We too follow stars. By the way, do you know when you're on that little aisle there at the Publix or at the Winn-Dixie checking out, do you know the most lucrative business between the beginning of the aisle where you check out and the register? The most lucrative business is all those magazines that say all that junk about all those famous people. The National Enquirer and People and this and that. That is the most lucrative business between the time you go into the lane there and the cash register. Makes a lot more money than the gum and the candies. And it's because we love to follow the stars. What are the stars doing? We love those red carpet shows. What are they wearing? What are they doing? And it's funny, because maybe 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the National Enquirer, but here we are, we're still following the stars, aren't we? But I'll tell you about that star. This star in the gospel actually leads you somewhere. This star leads you to the source. Christ our Lord. And what you and I must do as his followers today, we must remember that we are children of the light. That since the moment of our baptism, we receive that light of faith, and we're always called to follow the light of Christ. We're always called to follow that light wherever it may lead. How many of you saw the new Star Wars movie? Raise your hand. You saw the new Star Wars movie. Okay. I gotta tell you, I saw the Star Wars movie when I was 7 years old. That's right, I'm 46. 1977, I saw that new Star Wars movie. And when I was 7 years old and I saw that Star Wars movie, I was impacted greatly. I thought, wow, you know, the Force be with you. As a matter of fact, there's a bunch of priests last Sunday who got confused. Instead of saying the Lord be with you, they said the Force be with you. But and the people responded, and also with you. But the truth is, the light comes across as the force that leads to what is good. And then the darkness is portrayed as what is evil. And you may think, wow, Star Wars is like using all this biblical ancient imagery. The truth is, it's deeper and greater than that. I say to you, we are called to be light, not just to follow light. We are called to be light wherever we may be and reject the darkness of sin and violence, the darkness that is real in our world. Because the power of evil is real in our world, am I right? You see it every day, you flip the channels, you watch the news, you see darkness and works of darkness. You and I are called to do the works of light, to do the works of God. So when we get there to that place where the wise men went, when we get there to adore Jesus, I'm going to share a secret with you. The best thing, don't bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't bring something you bought at Walmart. Don't bring a cake you bought at the bakery. Bring yourself. The greatest gift we can offer Jesus as we begin 2016 is the gift of our hearts, the gift of our faith, the gift of our desire to truly live as children of the light and to bring ourselves there. And hopefully when we get there, we won't go by ourselves. I'll share a secret with you. In the Bible that we just read, in the scripture passage, it doesn't say anything about three wise men. I'm sorry to break the news to you. It could have been 12, 20, could have been 50. But because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the tradition came up with the idea, but that was centuries later, that it should be these three guys that went. The truth is, the wise men probably didn't go by themselves. The wise men probably walked through the fields and said to the shepherds, "Hey, look, there's a light there. That light's special. Let's go over there. And let's bow before that light." And they probably said to the people, you know, to the ladies that were washing their clothes and stuff on the outside of their houses, "Hey, look, look, there's a star there." I bet you they brought a bunch of people with them. Because you know what? When there's something beautiful and something great, we tell other people about it. We get excited about it. And then you don't get to adore the baby Jesus all by yourself. You come together with other people and you bring them to the light. In this year 2016, I want you to think about something. And this is my spiritual challenge to all of you as we begin the new year. All of us know people that are good people, loving people, caring people, but there's no connection with God, or maybe there's no interest in knowing God. Do you know the largest group of growing people in our society are the people who are called the N-O-N-E-S. Sociologists call them the nuns. It means that they have no interest in faith, religious affiliation, church whatsoever. It's the largest growing denomination in our country. Lots of people who are spiritually indifferent. To live in the light or in the darkness is ambiguous to them. There's no real clarity. It's our job as baptized members of the body of Christ, it's our job as people of the light to bring others with us, to say, "Look, look, there's something special there. There's something God has given me and I want to share it with you." When you go to take your gift, don't bring something material. Bring your heart and invite the hearts of others to experience that light. That's the greatest gift we can offer God in 2016, to bring others to know the power of God's light in their life. By the way, living in the light doesn't mean that we will not have moments of darkness. Living in faith doesn't mean we won't have struggles. I heard something the other day that made a lot of sense, especially living here in South Florida. The journey of life is filled with little construction sites, little detours. You know, it's like living here in South Florida, where you know that the snowbirds come here between November and March. And of course, right at the beginning of that, they got to start fixing Sunrise Boulevard next to the turnpike. You figure they would wait till April, right? Or May. No. Right at the beginning of the big traffic, they start fixing Sunrise and the turnpike. What does that mean? Our journey is filled with little construction sites. There's always room for improvement. There's always a better road to take. God always gives us another chance. He's always ready to offer us more. But if we're looking for the star, if we're following Jesus, and we're following that star, it will lead us to the right place. Our heart has to be in it. Our heart has to be in it. And we've got to be able to bring others with us to adore the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.